It seems like any town with enough buildings to have something like a downtown also has issues with people living on the streets. All kinds of ideas have been tried to reduce the encampments of homeless people and find them permanent places to live, and those efforts do not always go together. Our first guest watched as the city of Fresno tried a number of approaches to serving its homeless population and the city at large. It frequently got ugly, as Mike Rhodes demonstrates in his book, Dispatches from the War Zone, Homelessness in Fresno, 2002 to 2015. Mike Rhodes is the former editor of the Community Alliance newspaper in Fresno and a former reporter for KFCF Free Speech Radio, and he's our guest on The Exchange. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Good to have you here today. You get us right off at the bat in the book by saying, I make no apologies for standing with the homeless. So were you advocate first, journalist first, or how do the roles sort themselves out?
Yeah, I've never been homeless myself. I'm a journalist. I owned a print shop in downtown Fresno and sometimes found myself being annoyed at the aftermath of when homeless people camped behind our shop. But that changed when I heard an encounter between a police officer and a homeless man in the alley behind our shop. And it caught my attention because the officer was on his bike circling the homeless man, who I didn't know, and he was calling him a bum, saying he was dirty, disparaging his girlfriend. And I could tell that things were not going in the right direction there. And when the officer got off of his bike and was calling this homeless person a human cockroach, I approached him and I asked the homeless guy if he would like to come in and help recycle some aluminum plates that we had. And he was really glad to get out of that situation because, you know, it was not going to end well for him. And then I went out and talked to the officer, who basically talked to me as he would any business owner in downtown Fresno, and said that he was trying to help clean up the filth off of the streets. And, you know, he knew that business owners were tired of homeless people hanging around, and it was his intention to arrest this person for something that allegedly happened at a convenience store down the street. Instead of, you know, thanking him for his services, I took his name and badge number and filed a complaint with the police department, because it's my belief that people should be treated with dignity and respect, and that's not what was going on in that case. And that got me interested in the issue of homelessness, because the guy, his name is Dave Ritter, who I encountered in that alley, told me about some of the dynamics that were happening out on the street, and that as long as homeless people lived in this very rundown industrial section of town, they were more or less left alone. But when they came into the downtown part of Fresno that was being redeveloped, they were relentlessly harassed. So I thought, well, this looks like a very interesting story that is about very powerless homeless people that have no influence in City Hall, and the builders and developers who are making money off of redevelopment in a new part of downtown Fresno, and how they put pressure on City Hall, who then put pressure on the police to remove the homeless. And that's how I got into this issue, is through writing about that story. And I really thought it was that simple at the time. I looked at it through economic and financial lens, but I soon found out it was much more complicated than that.
So, Mike, the attitude that the police officer expressed that day in the encounter with Dave Ritter, was that fairly typical, or was that a one-time kind of thing from one person?
What I came to understand is that there was a range of approaches that the police took. That was sort of in the middle. There were times when the police just tried to move people along and move them out of the downtown area. There were other times that they came in and raided their encampments and simply took their property and destroyed it and left them with nothing. So what they were doing with Dave was somewhere in the middle of that. And it was really the more egregious approach of taking homeless people's property and immediately destroying it that led to a class action lawsuit against the city of Fresno.
Mike Rhodes, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He is an independent journalist and a resident of Fresno, former editor of the Community Alliance newspaper. He put a lot of his work together in a book called Dispatches from the War Zone, Homelessness in Fresno, 2002 to 2015. You can join us on the Exchange, 800-838-3760, to talk about homelessness and government attitudes toward it. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. What kinds of services were available for homeless people, shelter space, stuff like that, in 2002 when this time period begins?
Really not very much, and there still isn't today. There's, at that time, I'm going to say maybe 100 shelter beds available, and that was at the Rescue Mission primarily, which was for men only, too, I might add. And you'd have to sit through a religious service before you could get a bed at night. And other than that, if you were a woman that had been being abused and you were homeless, there's about 20 beds there for people. But with the homeless population estimated at that time by the continuum of care of, I think it was 15,000 homeless people in the county of Fresno and Madera, with most of those, probably 80 or 85% of them, being in Fresno, the city of Fresno, there just was not, and there still is not, enough beds for homeless people to spend the night. So they're inevitably out on the street or somewhere trying to spend the night, and there's no place for them to go. So when they started encampments, and that's what happened here, is they came together, people who knew each other, and started building tents together, and then it turned into wooden structures, and eventually it ended up into whole little communities where there'd be hundreds of people living. And some of these got quite elaborate, where people put up framed walls and pitched roofs and foundations. One even became a two-story structure before the city came in and bulldozed them all.
So this happened in 2004, this first bulldozing you write about, where they actually, and when we're talking about taking away the belongings of the homeless people, they actually bulldozed them out of the camps into a place where they could then be picked up and thrown in the back of garbage trucks. Do I have the sequence right?
Right. And in fact, it was a police officer, Ray Wallace, who developed that system. And he did it entirely independently of City Hall. He was authorized to come up with a solution to end homelessness, which really he had no idea how to end homelessness. There is a solution to how to end homelessness, but that wasn't it. His solution was to come in post notices. Then a couple days or a week later, they would come in with the city sanitation crew, and the police would go in, inspect the tents, make sure there's nobody still in there, because there's inevitably people would not move their property out. Maybe they're visiting a friend, they're staying with family members that night, or they are at the hospital, who knows what, but there'd always be some structures that were left unattended and property would be there. And they would look in and see if there's anybody there, and then they would send the bulldozers in to just pick everything up, put it in the back of a garbage truck. That garbage truck would crush all that property and haul it out to the dump. And they would do this time after time. It got to be so regular. It was like every 2 weeks in that part of downtown Fresno. And the first time I saw Ray Wallace, the police officer who designed this process, I didn't know who he was. I don't think he knew who I was. And I turned to him, he turned to me and he said, "These are the luckiest homeless people in Fresno." And I was just stunned. And he said, "Yeah, they get maid service twice a month." And I think that encapsulates some of the thinking of the city of Fresno, is that they were cleaning, they alleged that they were cleaning up the city of Fresno to make it look better. because some of these encampments were on thoroughfares or close to them so that people coming into the city could see them. So they were cleaning up. The problem is that homeless people who lived in these encampments would oftentimes lose everything they owned. And it wasn't just clothing and a sleeping bag. Those are important, but people would also lose things that were totally invaluable to them. There was a man that I know that lost a photo album that had his wedding pictures in it. It was like the one thing that he had kept with him after he became homeless. That was destroyed. People lost their ID. One woman lost an urn that had her granddaughter's ashes in it. It was things that were irreplaceable and damaging. And when people lost things like their medicine, heart medicine for keeping their blood pressure down, or diabetes, insulin, they would end up in the hospital as a result of these raids that the city would do. And the city, they would say they were simply cleaning up the city, the streets of Fresno, so that there was no trash on the street. In one instance, a bulldozer was heading towards a tent, and a woman with the St. Benedict Catholic Worker Project, Lisa Apper, stood in front of it. And there was no real reason why she picked that tent. It just was random. And she stood in front of it, and the bulldozer came towards her. And Ray Wallace came over, threatened her with arrest. She said, "I'm not afraid of being arrested, but I'm not going to let you destroy any more tents." And it was symbolic because she couldn't stop them entirely from destroying tents. And eventually the bulldozer, at Ray Wallace's direction, went around her and continued to destroy tents further down the line. Well, what she didn't know at that time, and nobody did, was that there was a African-American man sleeping in that tent that she stood in front of. He was covered. He was very small, and he was under blankets. And when they looked inside that tent that he was in, nobody saw him. And he comes out 10 minutes later. If Lisa hadn't stood in front of that structure, he would have simply been crushed along with everything else, put in the back of a garbage truck, and taken to the dump.
Mike Rhodes is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about homelessness in Fresno and how it was dealt with by city authorities in the period 2002 to 2015. That's the period in which he wrote about this for what became a book called Dispatches from the War Zone. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Eric in Medford. Welcome to the exchange.
Hey, how are you guys doing this morning?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm okay. I've been better. I happen to be one of the homeless, not in Fresno, but in the Rogue Valley. And, you know, I really admire how you've taken up the cause in Fresno. When I lived in the Bay Area, we had People's Park in Berkeley, and went to many rallies to try and stop them from bulldozing it, and it happened a couple times. I even got ripped off when I was in my 20s. Somebody came in, and I was at Ococoe on University, and somebody busted into my Land Cruiser and took these brand-new boots, about $500-$600 worth of stuff. And I'm rousing guys in People's Park. And a Berkeley police officer stops me. He's like, "What are you doing?" I go, "Blah, blah, blah, blah." And I go, "Oh, I had a ring for my dad," and blah. And he's like, "Well, come here." And he was really cool about it. And a little bit different attitude. But here, I'm 51. Last summer, I started framing in. I got a little overweight. I moved down here from Eugene to be with my daughter because mom moved back down here, which I followed them up to Eugene 6 years previously. I won't get into all that. But I haven't had a place the whole time I've been here. I stayed with a friend the first 6 months. The last numbers I got on rentals was 1.8%. And I know it's a little bit of a segue here, but my stuff is from arrears and having my my driver's license taken and narrowing the scope of work that I can do and even to protect my children. And, being a non-custodial parent, it makes me a non-parent. And I'm really frustrated. This is 20 years of this, and I've never been homeless. I had an addiction to drugs when I was younger, And the episode that I described in People's Park in Berkeley, I was clean. I was clean like 2 years or something. So I was really hyper.
All right, so you're just having a lot of trouble breaking out of the cycle, it sounds like. You just can't get a foothold.
Oh, well, I mean, I've broken out of the cycle a couple times. But when you're battling a state that's collecting arrears from another state in California for a 24-year-old son, and it's $36,000, and the federal government gives them incentives to go after me because they'll pay them dollar for dollar, not to mention that they will also paid for the facilities and for the staffing to collect those arrears. And meanwhile, I'm a builder. I dropped out of school at an early age. I learned I could make more money than my teachers. What are they going to teach me? That was a stupid move. And so anyway, I'm a builder. I made six figures in the 90s, but not anymore, not since the housing crunch.
All right, Eric, thanks for sharing the story with us, and best of luck to you. Mike, how common are the stories like this that you heard over the years of covering the homeless in Fresno?
Very, very regular. It's interesting that you have somebody who's having trouble. Maybe it's medical issues, or it could be an inability to get a job because of a changing economy. And just like almost every one of us that are listening to this today, you're maybe a paycheck or two away from being homeless yourself. Bad circumstances, your health fails, you lose a job, you break up with a spouse, you could end up on the streets. And what happened when people, good people, our brothers and our sisters, my own cousin was homeless for a time in the city of Fresno, they end up on the streets of wherever they're at the time, and instead of getting help, they have all their property taken. And it makes life just so much more difficult. If you don't have an ID, if you don't have money, if you lose your medication. And that's the thing that just is amazing to me as I got into this story, is the most vulnerable people in our community are not being helped. They're down and out, they're on the streets, and they're being attacked by the city and the people that should be helping them to recover, get the social services they need, get the job training that they need, but instead their lives are being made worse. It's phenomenal. And why everybody doesn't see that, it's hard for me to understand.
Mike, did the bulldozings continue for very long after you first saw them in 2004?
Oh, yeah, they continued up until a couple years ago. And the city would bulldoze an encampment and clear it out. People would just go somewhere else. And what are you going to do? They have no resources. They're out on the street. A lot of people have problems, like mental health problems or addiction problems, or they're just like not trained for this economy. And without the social services, without the social service net that can protect people and help get them back on their feet, they simply go to another field that is unoccupied and rebuild their community there. And that went on for years and years and years. It took a class action lawsuit to stop the city from taking and immediately destroying homeless people's property.
So, Mike, what did the class action lawsuit change in the city of Fresno?
Yeah, it was pretty narrowly focused, but what it focused on is to stop the city from immediately taking homeless people's property and destroying it. The way I came to look at it is this. If I lost a bike, say my 10-speed bike ends up at a convenience store and the police find it, their policy is not to come in with a bulldozer, pick it up, crush it, put it in the garbage truck, and haul it off to the dump. But they have a recovery process where they take it into their possession and they try to return it to the owner. That's what they do for middle-class people. Now, if you're poor, their policy was to come out and take it and immediately destroy it. So you have policies based on your economic status rather than a even use of the law. And that was the objection, that the city was taking homeless people's property and immediately destroying it. What happened is that the city, well, first of all, there was a settlement for $2.3 million that went to compensate the homeless for their losses.
But how many filed claims, though, I have to wonder?
Hundreds. There was about 300 or 400 homeless people in this class action lawsuit. But that's a lot of money, and it went a long way. Some of the homeless people, as a result of that, took that money and got a job, got a car, got a job. Some people bought houses. A lot of people, probably 100 or 200 homeless people, got into apartments. They had rent for a year or two as a result of this. And that helped stabilize them to get them back on their feet and moving in a different direction. So that made the city of Fresno pause and rethink their policy. And what they had to change in order for them to move forward was to come up with a policy where they stored homeless people's property. So the policy became, if they want to clear out an encampment, this class action lawsuit didn't stop them from doing that. But what it did is it forced them to be more respectful of the property that homeless people have. So they'd have to go in and
they have to pick the stuff up and store it someplace.
For 90 days.
Mm-hmm. Mike, we only have about a minute left here, and I want to get just a perspective from you on what you think should be done. I mean, what's the thing that cities are missing doing that they should be doing for the homeless?
Well, in our case, they should start with providing a safe and legal place for homeless people to live that would have portable toilets, trash pickup, drinking water, so that every homeless person in your city can have a place to go. Then beyond that, you need to start providing the social services that people need to address the issues of why they're homeless in the first place. If you do that and have enough affordable housing, you can end homelessness.
The book is rich in detail. It is called Dispatches from the War Zone, Homelessness in Fresno, 2002 to 2015. Mike Rhodes is the independent journalist who covered this for years and put all the dispatches together into a book. And he's been our guest on The Exchange. Mike, thanks for joining us. Very much appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.